to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Let's go to the Bible, Ephesians 4, verse 1. And we've been springboarding out of the book of Ephesians and in and around this verse for a while, and it's still very alive in my heart for us. And if Ephesians 4, verse 1 comes up for us, that'd be wonderful. And this is the words of the Apostle Paul speaking out truth to us today, echoing a call that comes from heaven that would come to each and every one of us today. And the Apostle Paul is literally writing from jail, and he's saying, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, I beg you, I beseech you, if you want to get a little old school, to live a life or lead a life worthy of the calling you have received. This word comes out, I beg you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And there is a great caller, the great Father, who calls each and every one of us, that every single person, there would be a call that we could hear and then we could respond to. And this call that comes from God, it's filled with His love. It's filled with this sense of encouragement, and God is the ultimate Father who would always want to reach down to where we are and call us up to the next place. And say, come on, I'm with you. I believe in you. You can do this. Let's take a step together. And that's the sense that comes with this calling that comes from God to us. And now this call that comes to us, thankfully to us as fathers, this call is not based upon our brilliance, our ability to not stumble, our getting it right all the time. This call came to us before we ever got anything right or before we ever got anything wrong. This call is based in who He is, in His goodness, His grace, that He gives the call and then He sustains the call. And what we have here, the sense of call, and there is ultimately in the heart of humanity and every single one of us, there is this driving deep, if we're willing to actually go there, there is this deep sense that we want to live. We feel we need to live in line with purpose, that there is this need, there must be more than this. And it drives, it burns inside of us if we would let that come alive, this sense that I'm here for some great purpose. And this is because God has woven it into the fabric of our humanity. And what we see in Ephesians 4 verse 1 is this sense here that you're called. And then straight away we move into verse 2. And I've preached through this over weeks that have been. And it moves straight in verse 2 into an instant relational context. I want you to live a life worthy of the call. And then it doesn't talk about taking mountains or slaying giants or building great enterprises. It goes straight into relationships. Straight into, this is what your real priority is for your calling. And for us again as dads, as men, I think sometimes we need extra help with this, to remember that relationships aren't just a part of our call, they're our first port of call. Relationships aren't stepping stone, they're not just a part of our call, they are our first port of call. More than any career achievement, more than any ministry might or qualifications or awards or accolades, more than our postcode, the money in the bank or the cars that we drive, relationships are our first port of call. Our call flows first to and then through our relationships. It's important also to realize that our call has a seasonal shape. It looks different in different seasons of our life. And can I get you to stand? If you have children that are between the age of 0, fresh out of the oven, and 18 years of age, if you have children in that age bracket, why don't you go ahead and stand? Dads. Yeah, sorry, mums, you have your day. This is our day. Our day for bacon and Relationships are our first port of call, and there are so many things that would yell for our attention. So many needs that scream at us. Can we make a choice afresh today, men, fathers, those of us standing, that would hear the call from the great caller to continue to prioritize what matters most? These precious people that we've been given. And this important fathering season, the foundation that we lay is so essential. The love that we create in our home, the habits that we foster in our kids, the priorities that we model, the principles that we instill, these create a launch pad for the kids, for our kids, for the rest of their lives. And so, come on, let's do this thing together. And who here needs help to do this well? That's great. Thank you for the acknowledgement. You can grab your chair. I am with you. I need help to do this well. I thought it would be interesting to note, does anyone here just give me a wave if you think you've got this nailed? Because if you do, I'd love to chat to your wife and your kids and get the real story. None of us have got this nailed. We all need help. We need help from each other. We need help from the Lord. And let's go. We're going to quickly look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. So we're fast forwarding a couple of chapters in the book of Ephesians. And here's kind of a tough verse for us that we're going to just take some advice from today. Here we go. Again, no pressure, dads. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We have a do not, and we have a do. First of all, I have good news for all the men of Perth. Maniacs is coming. I can see you just triumphant in that news. What is Maniacs? Maniacs is an axe-throwing establishment. Could there be anything more manly than men throwing axes, competing with each other to see who can be the best at throwing axes? And it is coming to Perth in 13 days. It's here. I don't think there could be anything more manly than throwing axes, other than maybe throwing chainsaws or throwing axes at live animals. But people tend to get offended at things like that these days. Wonder how long that business would last. I had the joy earlier this year of throwing axes at Maniacs in Melbourne. And here's the challenge. So what you have is you have a timber target that you have to throw your axe at, and you're, I don't know, a fair way back, maybe kind of 3 meters back from the target. And so you have your axe, they give you some lessons, and you gotta hold it back and throw it at the target. It spins and hopefully, and everyone's watching, hopefully hits into the target. And so there are two lanes side by side. So you're throwing, competing with one of the other guys in your group. And now there's a challenge is with axe throwing, you're supposed to keep your wrist locked. So your wrist is locked. And so the action comes from moving your arm down. But I've played basketball for a long time. And the thing with basketball is that you're supposed to snap your wrist. You shoot and flick your wrist. So as I'm throwing the axe, I'm not just moving my arm, but I'm flicking my wrist at the end of the motion. So what was happening, and this was it was quite traumatic, so just be gentle with me as I unpack this story, is I would throw the axe and it would go beautifully towards the center of the target, but because of the flick of the wrist, it would over-rotate and the handle would hit the target. The center of the target, but it doesn't matter because the handle would hit the target and it would fall to the floor. Was an assault to my manhood. And I tried I tried to keep my wrist from flicking. And all through the practices, I was the worst in our group. Not just the worst, significantly the worst. This seriously was an attack of the enemy. And so we hit the rounds, and first round, I lost. I can't remember if any axe actually stuck in the target. I can't see it clearly enough through the pain. But church, I want to tell you, I did not lose heart. For this is not the end of the story. Because rising from the ashes, there was a glimmer of hope. And with an AC/DC soundtrack cheering me on in the background, the Viking did rise. And as we approached the second round, from the ashes I climbed. And I managed to retrain that wrist, to hold it straight, and to throw that axe like I knew I was born to throw it. The call was heard from the caller, and the axe began to rotate correctly, and no longer did the handle hit the center of the target, but the axe head hit where it was designed to hit. And so, look out. The second match was mine. The third match was mine. The fourth match was mine. And what made it even better was I knocked out my boss, John Pierce, the C3 overseer for Australia. The fourth match was mine. However, then in a cruel twist of fate, in a sudden death throw off, as they change the game and you now face each other. No, they don't do. They don't do that. By an inch, Nick, from Canberra of all places. He took it. Here's the reality. Not all skills are transferable. Not all skills are transferable. And over the years of developed a reasonable skill, could be a better skill, in basketball and shooting that ball. And that flick of the wrist was what totally messed up the throwing of the axe. You would think there could be some similarity, but those skills weren't actually transferable. And I had to unlearn one of the skills to then learn adequately a new skill. And so there's a challenge for us because we all have various contexts in our lives. And for us as dads, we've typically got a working life, and there's a skill set we develop in that working life. And we have to ask ourselves, is the way we conduct ourselves, are the leadership skills we have in this place, are they transferable into the home? Are they transferable into my fathering? Or do I need to have a look and maybe retrained, because I may be hitting the target, but I may not be hitting the target properly and getting any purchase into the center of the target. And we can see the target. We know what we're trying to accomplish. And so we have to ask ourselves, that are our leadership styles in other contexts, are they actually the right styles to be transferred into our family according to the age of our kids, the personality of our kids, everything that's happening in and around us? That does it come across overly demanding or absent, or image conscious, or competitive? Are we overly detailed focused, or do we have just a scattergun hope for the best approach? Is there intense pressure or a stressing over perfection or a hands-off kind of passive? Are we overly performance-driven or inconsistent depending on our mood or our energy levels or our inspiration? Are there things that we could be overdoing or underdoing? And we have this challenge in the Word of God that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. But you know what? I reckon sometimes it's easier to actually do it than not do it. One commentary explained it this way, that as dads, we must try and avoid excessively severe discipline, unreasonably harsh demands, abuse of authority, arbitrariness, unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, subjecting a child to humiliation, and insensitivity to a child's needs or sensibilities. And when we hear this, I go, far out. Fathering is hard. Hard, almost like impossible to do this thing well, it may seem. But can we take in, if there's any sense of inadequacy, any sense in us that we're missing the target, that maybe we're flicking the wrist too much or we're whatever, that we would use that actually as motivation for continual growth as opposed to beating ourselves down. Because the call that comes from God always calls us up. That God's voice doesn't push down. His mandate is to pull us up, to fill us with His love and His power so that we can be who He calls us to be. So how are you doing, dads? It's good, I think, for us to ask ourselves some pointed questions at times. How am I doing at not exasperating my children? So there's an interesting thing that we can do, because self-reflection is helpful. I've enjoyed through the years actually asking my kids this. Now you have to prepare yourself for what you're going to get. And you make a choice in advance not to snap back. That if we come to our kids and say, hey, and so I've done this. Hey guys, you know, dad loves you. I'm trying really hard. I know I'm not perfect. I want you to tell me, what do you think I could do better? So I've asked the kids, and amazingly, they've all had something to say. Flabbergasted. So we make a choice in advance. We're not going to snap back and say, well, now you tell me what I can do better as a dad. Let me tell you what you can do better as a child. That's not the moment for that. This is your moment just to take it in, go away, process it. There may be something we can learn in that teenage angst or that toddler immaturity or that whatever the stage may be. Is there a lesson for us in that? Another great thing we could do is actually ask your wife, but you really have to be ready for what you're going to get. And again, it's not the time to shoot back. This is the time to go, you know what? I want to be the type of man that continually gets better, that takes step after step after step on this journey of just getting a little bit better every day. And so I'm going to utilize whatever I have around me to help in that. And so can we, it's important for us to know as well, parents. So I was a high school chaplain for 5 years, and I had one-on-one kind of counseling type sessions with around 3,000 teenagers in that time. The number one thing, I kept stats on all the conversations, the number one thing that teenagers would say to me, their complaint about their parents, was not stuff they did or didn't have, and yeah, they can whinge about that sometimes, but was that my parents don't really listen. I wish they would really listen. And there's an important message for me as a dad, for us as dads, to take time just to really listen and then not snap back with a counter argument or our superior knowledge or our whatever, but to really listen and show love by listening. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training and instruction of the Lord. The training and instruction of the Lord. The reality is our kids will learn more from watching our life than hearing our lessons. From watching our life. Now, this is freaky because they're always watching, listening, feeling the vibe in the house, sensing. They're going to learn more from watching our life. The greatest training and instruction that we will give flows through our whole lives, not just from the lessons we give in moments where we spout off the lesson. And so we got to remember here that God never leaves us unable And there are times for all of us, and whatever it is we feel we're called to, and fathering is a call. If we've got kids, we're called to fathering. God never wants to leave us feeling unable, that he always wants to call us up. And so it's a really helpful thing for us in our humanity to at times to feel the void, to feel like we've messed up or we're falling short, but we're not designed to live there. You can't stay living in that place because it's demotivating. What we do is we come to the God of all power. We come to him and we allow him to pull us up to where he's calling us to be. And so as we close this together, Ephesians 3, 16 through to 21. And again, I love this prayer. And I know if you've been with us, you've heard this a lot, but there is more in here for you. Yesterday, I went for a prayer walk and God spoke to me in this passage in ways, even though I've read this maybe 1,000 times in the last few months, that there was something here for me yesterday, which shaped something in me. And so I want it to speak to us again here today from verse 16. This prayer, because what we have to remember is we've been talking Ephesians chapter 6, this encouragement for fathers. It rolls through chapter 3. We don't get to chapter 6 without first coming to chapter 3. So there's an understanding that's woven into the framework of the Bible that if we can grab this message we're about to read, then that will stand you in good stead to be able to do what we just read in chapter 6. So here we go. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being grounded and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, each and every one of us, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. How does this happen? It's according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here's the deal. God wants us to open our hearts, men, fathers, for us to open our hearts to him, that his love would pervade that space, the very center of who we are, that his love would fill us. And then this creates a grounding and an establishing for what he calls us to. So if we are grounded and established, if our foundation, if you're going to build any building, you know the foundation has got to be right. So as we get this foundation right, grounded and established in his love, the perfect love of Christ, where you are loved despite, where you don't have to strive, where you get a sense of identity that's based in who he is and what he's done for us, that you are accepted, that you are loved as we build this as our identity. This is our foundation, grounded and established in love. Then it's in this framework that his power is able to work within us. The Bible says that he can do incredible things through us. It's his power at work within us. Here that it doesn't say his power going doing things for us, although that is a part of who we understand God is. But here it's talking about his power within us. And so where we fall short in our parenting, we need to come back again. Be grounded and established in love. God, let your love fill my heart. Let your love for my kids fill my heart. God, let it wash out frustration. Lord, let it wash out inadequacy in me. God, let it fill me with faith and hope. Let it shape me so I can become who you've called me to be. Where his love is alive inside of us, it then releases his power so that we can go on and be those fathers who do not exasperate our children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, because we are grounded and established in his love and his power as it is at work within us.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.